This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Tony Cox. It is nearly time for a new year, and for some of us, that means a fresh start for our personal finance habits. Spending less and saving more is consistently ranked as one of the top New Year's resolutions, like losing weight or getting organized. It takes discipline, of course. But when it comes to managing money right, self-control isn't the only asset. Information is also key. And so we've invited one of the most informed personal finance experts we know to the show today to talk about making realistic money goals and help a few callers out as well. Liz Weston, that's you. How are you?
Great. Good to see you.
Nice to have you. Where do a lot of people go wrong with making New Year's resolutions related to money?
Well, it's like New Year's resolutions related to anything else. They try to be too ambitious, and they are also a little vague. You know, what you need are very concrete goals that you actually have a realistic hope of achieving. You know, if you have $50,000 in debt, you're not going to get it paid off in a year unless you're making a heck of a lot more money than we are. So you need to have a goal that you can actually achieve. Like, you know, I want to get X amount of my debt paid off. I want to take a look at my portfolio and get that in shape. Something that's very specific and concrete that you actually can accomplish.
And something you have to do in small pieces, small increments.
Exactly. You know, it's a lifestyle change you have to ease into and keep up over time.
Well, let's see if we can help some of the people who are on the line with us today. You ready to take a couple of calls?
Sounds great, Tony.
Let's go to the first one. This is Amy from Coon Rapids, Minnesota. Hi, Amy.
Hi there.
Coon Rapids, Minnesota, really? Amy,
yeah.
Really?
It might be easier to just say Minneapolis, but yes, it is a suburb.
That is wild. Anyway, we're glad that you called us. What is your question for Liz?
Well, about a month and a half ago, my partner and I received a notice from a major insurance carrier that their database had been hacked, and unfortunately, they didn't really specify what kind of information that was received or hacked, or even if either one of us were at risk, but they did offer a one-year consumer protection. And when we contacted them to try to see what information we could get, they were really vague, refused to take us out of their database. And now I'm just at odds as to how should we handle this down the road? Should we take their 1 year of consumer protection? Can we pull our own credits, or should we be using that free credit report offering by the three different credit reporting agencies on our own? Because I've heard that you could basically your credit report gets dinged every time that you run that report.
Oh, Amy, the good news is that's not actually true. If you're looking at your own credit, pulling your own credit reports, signing up for credit monitoring, it typically doesn't even show up on your credit report, and it's certainly not what's known as a hard inquiry. So you're not dinging your score. And interestingly, that's a myth that just keeps persisting. I wrote a book about credit scoring, and I had a chapter on myths. I've barely had to touch that over 10 years because the same myths come up, and this is one of the most common that somehow checking your own credit is going to hurt your score. It won't.
Okay.
Here's the issue with the consumer protection they're offering. I'm assuming it's credit monitoring of some kind?
Yeah.
Okay. Sometimes the companies are asking you to sign away some rights when you sign up for that. So read the fine print carefully before you go for that. Also, ideally, it would be credit monitoring of all three credit bureaus.
Okay.
Often when I see these offers, it's just one credit bureau. That's not, that's kind of helpful for free, but not all that helpful because you need to know what's going on with the other two bureaus as well.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm really frustrated that these companies are not being more forthcoming because it would really help make decisions if you knew, okay, do they just have my address or do they have my Social Security number?
Right.
If anybody had your Social Security number, I'd say go get a credit freeze. This is when you lock down your credit reports at all three bureaus. Sometimes you have to pay fees for that. Sometimes it's free. But essentially, a lender couldn't access your credit information without your permission. So that means, an identity thief couldn't go and open an account typically in your name. It'd be much harder to do it. So, but since you don't know, it's really hard to judge what you might need to do. I think at a minimum, I'd go to the three credit bureaus and put what's called a fraud alert on my credit report. That's a signal to lenders that they have to do a little something extra to, verify that it's you. And also, I highly recommend the ID Theft Center that's in San Diego. I think it's idtheftcenter.org on the internet. They have a ton of information about breaches and what you should do. Also, the Privacy Rights Clearinghouse is another place that has a ton of information about breaches and things that you should look for. So I would definitely educate yourself. Don't take this casually because they've notified you that there's some kind of problem. Unfortunately, they're not being very forthcoming about what it could be.
Hey, Amy, I have a question for you before we let you go.
Yeah.
Do you make New Year's resolutions, and do you have one this year?
Well, since I have lost a significant amount of weight in the last year, I think I could put that off the list.
But hey, congratulations. That's awesome.
Thanks. But I think in light of this dilemma, I think probably getting a little bit more diligent about monitoring my credit and our credit collectively would probably be the best New Year's resolution.
Sounds like a good idea to me. Thank you very much for the call, Amy, and happy holiday to you.
Happy holidays.
Marketplace Money is supported by Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com.
This is Marketplace Money from APM. Liz Weston is with us today answering your money questions, and we're talking to callers about their New Year's resolutions. On the line now, Jamshed from Beechwood, Ohio. Jamshed, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
What's your New Year's resolution?
Well, that's one of the resolutions that I guess I have every year. This year, again, is to start trying to save. That's usually every year I try to do that, but then later on falls apart. But hopefully I try to do a little bit more better job in saving money.
All right, this year, 2013, this is going to be the year that you're going to do it and stick with it, right?
Yes, 13 is always the lucky one.
There you go. So what's your question for Liz, Jamshed?
Yeah, you know, like a lot of people, obviously me and my wife both have a lot of credit cards. And for some of those, I'm the primary person and she's the secondary one. And for the others, she's the primary and I'm the secondary one. So as far as I understand it, obviously if there is no balance in there, it would be fine that, you know, we both have that, those credits under our name. But my question is that what about when we have significant balances on these credit cards? Would it be better for our credit scores if, like, we just keep the primary person on the account and take the secondary one off? That way, obviously, the amount of credit available to us will go down, but at the same time, the amount that we owe also will go down. Would that make any change in our credit score, or it would stay the same?
Well, the devil's in the details, Jamshed. So let me ask you, how many credit cards are we talking about? What are the balances as opposed to the credit limits?
We're talking about probably seven.
Seven,
yeah,
cards, seven. Okay.
And the available credit on all of those is about $90,000, and it's owed about $80,000 on all of those.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah. Okay. This $80,000 debt, how much is that in relation to your income?
Probably it's about 1/7 of my income.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you're doing quite well.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, That relieves some of my anxiety because normally with that much debt, I would say you got to talk to a bankruptcy attorney.
Yeah.
You know?
No,
okay.
No, I'm not that. But it's been like that for a long time. That amount has not gone down over time.
Now, why is that?
That's my New Year resolution.
Okay. Sounds like you're making over $500,000 a year. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Where is the money going?
Kids to schools, mortgages. Private schools.
Mm-hmm. Well, private schools are expensive. How many kids do you have?
Three.
Now, that's a chunk of change, but you still should not be carrying that much debt. I mean, a lot of people think that credit card debt is normal, and it's really not. Right now, or at least as of 2010, fewer than 40% of American families had any credit card debt, and the median amount was under $3,000. So you guys are definitely outliers, and it is putting you at risk of bankruptcy, even though you have a good income. Okay, here's the deal. Are you an authorized user or a joint user on your wife's cards?
Joint user.
Okay, and is she the same on yours?
Yes.
Okay. Getting off as a joint user is kind of tough. That you typically would have to open a new account, transfer the balance. If your credit scores aren't sterling, that could trigger a review of your account. And I'm not sure it would accomplish what you're hoping to accomplish, because the debt is still going to be a significant part of, you know, your credit reports as well as hers, even if you manage to separate them somehow. So unless I'm missing something significant, I think what you guys really need to do is, you know, focus on paying down that debt, because paying it down will ultimately help your scores a lot more than trying to move it around or play games with whose name is on what. Does that make sense?
It does. So I guess we just leave it alone the way it is and stick to our New Year's resolution.
You are saving for retirement, right?
Yes.
Okay. So now that retirement's taken care of, just get at that debt and make sure you get rid of it. Got to take care of this.
In 2013. Jamshed, thank you very much. Good luck. And we're going to save in 2013, right?
Thank you. Yes.
Absolutely. Thank you for calling.
Thanks. All right. Bye.
Let's take another caller.
Okay.
All right. Doreen from Lexington, Kentucky. Hi, Doreen.
Hi there. I'm so excited to be with you all today.
Well, we are excited to have you as well. So what is your question for Liz?
Well, I am the extremely proud parent of a college student who has just finished her first semester of her freshman year.
Good for you.
And so I've been listening to all of the discussions about the looming fiscal cliff and how deductions may change, and I'm getting ready to pay the fees for her spring semester. And so I was listening to these various discussions, and I thought, well, golly, if I pay for the 2013 spring semester in 2012, would that not count to the payments that I make for college in 2012 that would potentially be able to take advantage of whatever tax deductions there are for college payments in 2012 that may change in 2013?
Ah, that's an excellent question.
That is interesting, yeah.
So as far as my daughter's university is concerned, they don't care whether the check is dated 12/31 or 1/1. They are still counting it towards 2013 as far as the tax year.
Oh, that's interesting.
Well, that's what I thought too, because I don't make a charitable contribution, you know, that
right.
I say, oh, do I want it this year or that year, you know? I mean,
yeah, Tony, this is something that's pretty routine of people paying their things ahead, like their property taxes
right.
or their mortgage or whatever. And it's kind of unfortunate the college doesn't let you do that. In this case, I'm not sure it will make a difference one way or the other. Now, one of the things we've been talking about with the fiscal cliff is how confusing it's made everything, because if all the rates do go up and all these deductions do disappear, you're kind of supposed to do the opposite of what you normally do. You normally, you know, want to speed up deductions, put off income. If we go over the fiscal cliff, you'll have want to do the opposite. Okay, here's the big problem. The college tuition deduction expired at the end of 2011, and Congress has not renewed that. So it's one of those things that just they have not gotten around to. They're way behind on their housekeeping. What does still exist is the American Opportunity Tax Credit. Okay, that's expiring at the end of this year. There's been some people saying that people should take advantage of the American Opportunity Tax Credit by prepaying their 2013 expenses if the college will play along, which yours is not doing. By the way, I'm getting all this information from a wonderful guy named Mark Luscombe. He's at CCH. It's a tax research firm. He knows this stuff. And what he told me is the credit that we're talking about is limited to $2,500. It's 100% of the first $2,000 of tuition and fees you pay and 25% of the next $2,000 of tuition and fees you pay. If you paid your fall semester already, 2012, which you have, you may have already used up this credit. So that's why I was saying it's probably not an issue that the college won't play ball by moving expenses into 2012, because you've probably already used the credit that's available.
But it's the American Opportunity Tax Credit that would be applicable in this case.
Right, because the college tuition deduction, which could also be helpful to you, has already expired. Now, it may get renewed. Again, this is all up in the air, so we don't know. But at this point, the tax break that's available to you is this tax credit. It's limited to $2,500 of tuition and fees, so you probably already used it up. Does that help?
That helps tremendously. I'm the tax preparer for our family. We have extremely simple taxes, which is great.
Well, you don't anymore now that you're going to college.
Absolutely.
Well, and see, that's it. I've never had to do the tax return and look at these credits and so on and so forth. So that's why it's good to have you all in my treasure trove of knowledge to go to. So I guess my New Year's resolution is just to have more personal finance questions that I can ask you all.
That would be great. Doreen, thank you very much for calling, and Happy New Year to you.
Great. Thank you, Tony, and thank you, Liz.
Liz, like she said, thank you very much for helping us out. As you always do, you are great at doing this. Liz Weston is a personal finance columnist. You can find her money tips and more at AskLizWeston.com. Liz, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Tony.